A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day, granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us. The witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." The word of the Lord.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
The right hand of the Lord has struck with power. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. The word of the Lord.
Conquered death, opened heaven to all believers.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. Beloved, when a loved one departs from us, they pass from this life into the next, everything in the world seems out of kilter. The things that we may have once had as an importance that was a priority is no longer the importance or the priority. Other things now take that place. We struggle to reorient ourselves, to find purpose, to find meaning. For sometimes maybe you are the caregiver, the primary caregiver, or the provider for that person as they were fading, if indeed that was the way in which they went. Obviously, there are different ways in which people leave this life. But let us think in those terms. And nevertheless, it brings about for us a tremendous time of having to reorient ourselves to establish meaning, and how is it that I'm supposed to now relate to this person that's no longer in a physical form that I was accustomed to for so long? I share that with you because this is where we are given the presentation of the Gospels of Jesus after his resurrection. This is where they are at. You know, this is one of the beautiful things about Easter. The readings that are given to us in these octave days and even into further into the season. It's like an event that is in real time. You can actually, like I can tell you, I actually feel as though I was with Mary of Magdala and Salome and the other Mary as they were going at the height of the beginning of the day. It was still dark, but the sun was just beginning to come up. It was the first day of the week. No observant Jew was allowed to do any work on the Sabbath. So we know Jesus was placed in a tomb on Good Friday, and he descended into the realm of the dead on Holy Saturday. The world, everything was still, it was in darkness, and then he came forth. So when they ran to the tomb last night, there was a young man vested in white robes, and he says, "Who are you looking for? You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here. He has been raised, just as he said." They were completely perplexed at this and went back. They were told to go and tell his brothers to go to meet him. He will see them in Galilee. Well, obviously, albeit they were overwhelmed and awestruck and this, that, and the other, but they obviously followed through at some point because they went and told, otherwise the record of the gospel would not have captured that testimony, that witness. Now today, as a result of that witness, two went for a foot race. John the beloved and Simon, who was about middle aged. There was no way he could have beat John. John was a teenager. He was running laps around him. But out of respect for the authority of Peter, he allowed him to go in first. So the witness that we're provided with today is not a young man dressed in white robes, but an empty tomb. You and I are being invited now, as we are, to enter and to observe what they observed. Wherever you are in your faith life, wherever I am in my faith life, I now have to discern what on God's good earth has happened here. We're told that when John looked in and saw the burial cloth especially, he believed. But what did he believe? It doesn't say that he believed that he was resurrected. It doesn't say that. In fact, if we have to go by what's written in the text of the Gospel of St. John, you go to the end of the Gospel of St. John, and what does he say to us? "What I have written in this book has been written by an eyewitness whose testimony is trustworthy. There are many more things that Jesus has said and done that has not been written in his book. If we were to attempt to do so, there would not be enough books on the face of the earth to contain them. But what I have written has been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God." That's what John believed. Now, as to the resurrection, an event that nobody expected to happen until the end of the world, this was something that was obviously taking them and still is taking us time to put our minds around. So the question that predominates the Gospel of John, giving us this account of the resurrection, is where is Jesus? Where is he? In fact, it is a preeminent question in John's gospel. Remember, when John the Baptist was on the scene, he had two of his disciples with him, and Jesus was passing by, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The two disciples, we're told, according to the gospel account, went and began to follow Jesus at a distance. They thought it was a safe distance. They were following him. Jesus was aware. He turned around and asked him a simple question. "What are you looking for?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying? Come and see." Where is Jesus? There was someone at the sunrise morning mass today, 7 a.m. Truly was sunrise morning mass, 7 a.m. this morning. Afterwards, one of the women who was in attendance came out and she said, "Father, I got a 60-minute, a little humorous thing to tell you, 60 minutes. She says, "I'm a public school teacher. In one year, for Christmas season, I brought a nativity and I set it up in the public school, right there, in the public school. I set it up. And no sooner had it been set up and so forth, someone took the baby Jesus." She said, "So I went and posted on the bulletin board the message, 'Where is Jesus?'" She started laughing. Now, as I shared that with some of the other members of the mass afterwards, I said, "I'm going to use that at my 11 o'clock mass because it fits beautifully with what I'm sharing." And she kind of looked at me. I said, "I'm telling you, I'm going to make reference to it at the 11 o'clock mass." Then one of the other parishioners who I was sharing with said, "Well, Father, did they ever bring it back? Did they bring Jesus back?" I said, "Well, I don't know. She didn't tell me." "Well, maybe." And then once somebody else said, "Well, maybe they brought it back at Easter time. Maybe they brought Jesus back for Easter." I said, "I don't know. But isn't that just the way it is? We don't know. But yet and still, in some kind of a way, we should know where Jesus is today. In every day forward, since the events that we have just commemorated with great solemnity, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday. Now, the first day of the week. Just as God created the first creation at the beginning on the first day of the week on a Sunday, the new creation that is now set in motion begins on the first day of the week. And what are we to contemplate? What clues are we left with today to answer the question that's being posed by everybody? Where is Jesus? Magdalene, Mary Magdalene, she believes his body has been taken. She quotes, she's echoing the sentiments of the Song of Songs, chapter 3, verse 1. "I searched for my beloved all over, and that I found him not." And so this is echoed in the person of Magdalene. Peter is still in the grips of his thrice denial of Jesus before his death on the cross. He's still in the fog. John is being spurred on by the great love Jesus had for him and that he has for Jesus. And everybody else is somewhere on the spectrum between one extreme or the other. We're all in the same boat here. We're trying to understand what has happened and what does this mean for me today in the 21st century. If you're familiar with the way the Gospel of John starts, there's like a preface, if you will. And it begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Everything that came to be through the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So this Gospel of John begins by disclosing that Jesus, the eternal Word of God, entered our existence, entered our space and time in the flesh, dwelling among us. Now, and then we get a hint of this in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, where he's giving disclosure of his departure, returning back to the Father. This is during the Last Supper discourse. He says that he will now, the dwelling place of where they will be is in him, not in some geographical location, but they will now, you and I will now dwell in him. So, we have to think sacramentally now. If he's moved, if he's transitioned, St. Leo, Pope Leo XIII, the great pope, he says that Jesus has transitioned from the flesh into the mystery of the sacraments. Into the mystery of the sacraments. So where do we find Jesus today? In the hearts and in the minds of every believer, and in the assembly of the mystical body of Christ is where we are to discover and experience Jesus today until the end of time. Now, what will be necessary for you and I to bear witness to this, albeit we are still trying to figure out what it is, we're trying to understand what it does it mean for one to rise from the dead? They both emerged from the tomb saying that. What does it mean? What did they see? What was it about the cloths, the burial cloths, that provoked John to say that he saw and he believed? I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Shroud of Turin. It's in Turin, in Italy. It's locked up it's believed to be the actual burial cloth that was used for Jesus on his burial day. And when they saw, the image is the image of a man straight up, laying down. Just in the way the scientists, it's been studied, they say the only thing that could have produced this image was something like a radioactive force, a power. Like a nuclear, something beyond, they tried to replicate it, they cannot replicate it. Nothing in the technologies that we have, they cannot remake that type of an image. He literally passed through the garment that was used to wrap his body. Jesus is among us. Right here and right now. But the truth be known, just like any time we experience a loved one that's taken from us, we're somewhat in a funk, we're in a fog. And we can only deal with that in the way we can deal with it. Each person in here has their own unique way of dealing with loss, with challenges, whatever they are. But the key to the entire journey is to do so with faith. Trusting in the one who said everything to us. He told us everything his Father gave him to share with us. He left nothing undone or unspoken. No stone was left unturned, especially the one that was rolled across his tomb. I was sharing with Deacon last year or the year before, the years begin to run into each other after a while. And he says, you know, Father, you ever wonder why was the stone rolled away? For whose benefit? Because obviously Jesus didn't need the stone to be rolled away. It was for our benefit. God rolled the stone away so that you and I could go in and see the place where he was laid. So for us, the mission, the objective, is to behold this newness of life, how Jesus presents himself. Because when you look at the gospel accounts of the resurrection, all of them, you know what you discover? First of all, it's not a happily ever after ending. When Jesus resurrected, the world was completely turned upside down. It was upended. And it's been that way since the Christ came into this world. And he continues to dwell in here until the days come. That's one key thing we discover from all of the four Gospels' accounts of the resurrection. The second thing, and probably most especially, is that actually they present it in such a way that it's more about what's going on with us than what's going on with Jesus. Where each person is in relationship to the one sent by God to redeem the world, to save the world. So let us strive in these days. In these Easter days, 50 days the church gives us, God gives us 50 days to feast on the Word made flesh. Because that's another insight we should walk away with as a people of faith. Where is the body of Jesus now, today, until the end of time? When you eat my body and drink my blood, you have life everlasting. Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body. Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is my blood of the new and eternal covenant. Not the body, not the blood of a dead corpse. It is the body of Jesus the Christ, risen from the dead, reigning in heaven, and continuing to dwell among us in the mystery of the Word and the sacrament. They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. But they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. God love you.